It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a monster Monday, and as you can tell, after a monster weekend at the NFFC in Fort Worth, Texas, I'm losing my voice just a little bit, but I'll fight through it. We are presented by SeatGeek, as always. If you don't have the app on your phone and you don't put the promo code Tucker in to get $20 off the already lowest ticket prices, I don't know what to tell you at this point because they're awesome. Speaking of awesome, we love those of you that spread the word via social media with a retweet of at RTF Podcast, that's Bri, or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or a like on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Can't tell you how much we appreciate all those things, as well as the sponsor confirmation email winners. And now, Bri, that we're past the NFFC, I'm laying down the gauntlet. You ready for this?
Go for it.
Anybody that sends us a sponsor confirmation between now and the start of the season gets an automatic free month over at tuckheads.com. We love our Tuckheads that much, and we love you guys that much. Why not? Try it out for a month. If you like it, keep doing it. If you don't like it, stop doing it. But we want you guys to at least try it. So you send us a sponsor confirmation email between today and let's just say September 1st to make it easy. We are going to go ahead and give you a free month over at tuckheads.com. It was an awesome weekend, Bri. We'll continue to talk about it a little bit later. The great part to me is you never really know what interviews you think are really going to be special and powerful. And I really liked the interview we had with former Bills first-round pick quarterback E.J. Manuel, who's in his second year in Oakland, his first year with John Gruden, and really, I thought, was very honest and reflective about his career so far. He's today's Big Show.
The Big Show.
So, E.J., I know I've told this before, but you probably don't remember. I actually met you your junior year of high school. It was my last year in the league, and the Redskins did a beach blitz in Virginia Beach. Yep. And I helped give a speech or whatever. You sat in the front row, and we had to give a talk, and mine was like on academics. And they all pointed like to like, he's going to Florida State. Yeah. He's the real deal.
Awesome.
And then I followed you,
wow,
first-round pick. And now what year in the NFL?
Six, going on six.
All right, so give me your mindset. First-round pick, started a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. You're on a team now where you're clearly not the starter.
Right.
What is your mindset at this stage of your career?
My mindset is just helping the team, man, the best I can. And even if I'm not in the starting role, supporting Derek. And obviously with Coach Gruden now being our coach, get a chance to learn. Coach Gruden's been around some of the best quarterbacks in the game. Rich Gannon came out and, spent a few days with us in mini camp. So that was awesome. So I just try to pick these guys' brain, man, and just learn from them. And, just keep playing.
Give me a couple of stories or something about Gruden.
Oh, man. Well, I remember in meetings in the morning, the good thing about Coach Gruden is he's ready to go like as soon as you come in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bet,
we'll start at 7:30, and he's wired up. He's probably already had his fourth cup of coffee and all that kind of stuff.
And he wants the people that get in early, right?
No doubt.
He loves that.
He wants guys that show up early, man. And, he's just full blast all the time. But, it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't say it's too high strung. Obviously, we're focused and, we're locked in on what we need to do. But, he makes sure guys are having a good time. He makes sure guys are enjoying themselves.
Is he in the quarterback room a lot?
Yes.
So he's helping coach you guys.
Yeah, so we'll actually meet with him. So we'll actually meet in like the offensive meeting room and along with Coach Olsen and Coach Callahan, who's a quarterback coach. Coach Olsen's our OC. So we'll meet with all three of those guys and they do a great job coaching us up, getting us ready to go.
So let's go back to your time in Buffalo, your first round pick. Why do you think it didn't go as well as you wanted it to?
Well, I think some, things that I can't really control. And as far as, getting moved back as a second-year guy four games into the season. And I have no hard feelings toward Coach Marone. Like, there's nothing, no bad blood between myself and him. So for me, I live a life of gratitude.
Refresh my memory. Who put – was that when
– Yeah, so they demoted me, and then Kyle Orton came in and played the rest of the season.
That's right.
my second year, and then Coach Marone left and went to Jacksonville. Coach Ryan became the head coach the following year.
And did he bring in Tyrod right away?
They brought in Tyrod, and they brought in Matt Castle. So I was competing against those guys going into my third year.
And then going into your third year, yeah. It was Tyrod, Castle, and you.
Yeah.
And were you on the roster?
Yeah, I was on the roster. I've never been cut, thankfully. So
wow.
You know.
So you were there 2 years with Tyrod?
Yeah. So I played in Buffalo for 4 years. And then these past, going on my second year with Oakland now.
What do you think of Tyrod as a quarterback?
Great quarterback. You know, I've known Tyrod since I was like 6 or 7 years old.
You guys are both
a long time.
From
Tidewater. From Tidewater, exactly. Yeah. So I've known him a very long time. Smart guy, shows up early. You know, I saw him. You know, obviously we were competing, and then he got the job. But I saw him day in and day out, go in there and do what he had to do to help prepare himself to go out there and perform on Sundays.
So wait a minute. Your first-round pick and 4 games into your second year, mm-hmm. only your second year,
yeah.
And they benched you for Orton.
And we were 2-2. I know, man. That's why I say something.
What did they say?
I remember the meeting I had with Coach Marone. He basically said he wanted me to learn from a veteran. And, you know, obviously that was never said to the media or said to the people who have all the – who say stuff and all that. But, you know, like I said, man, I live a life of gratitude because I can't sit and worry about things that's happened in my past. And if anything, it's a part of my journey. So, you know, I'm still playing in the league now. I'm still very proud to be in the league. And I do believe that I can be a starter in this league. And, you know, I'm going to just continue to work hard until I get to that point.
Okay, so you are a very smart guy.
Thank you.
You're athletic. I've always enjoyed talking with you. You got a really good arm. If someone said, why hasn't EJ shown that he can be, you know, why hasn't EJ beaten out Tyrod your third year or fourth year? Why hasn't EJ established himself as a starting quarterback? Mm-hmm. What is the aspect of your game? Like what to this point has been missing?
Well, I think when I got benched, man, I mean, my confidence took a huge hit, if I'm being honest, you know, and I could speak on that, you know, very, very openly, you know, because I've gone through a lot. You know, I think I went to a period of somewhat depression. You know, I was very upset, and I was like, man, what is it that I'm not doing and all this kind of stuff, and I started looking at me first. And like I said, you know, sometimes you can't control certain things. If a coach makes a decision like that, you know, that's his decision. And obviously, you know, it cost me in Buffalo somewhat, but it is what it is. And, you know, I still have a coach who believes in the things that I can do. He knows what I can do and bring to the table as far as with Coach Gruden in Oakland. So, you know, I'm very happy and excited to be there. But that would be the answer to that. I think, you know, it's just really showing that confidence and exuding that. And I'm glad I went through what I went through in Buffalo because it taught me a lot. You know, but that would be the only
thing. And
then
when Rex came in, you weren't his guy.
Right. And they brought in Tyrod and Matt.
Right. You know, and he knew – and Tyrod was his guy all the way back to Baltimore, right? Or he knew Tyrod somehow.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Rex wanted a guy who was going to, you know, be able to move around and do some different things with his feet and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's why I say a lot of times in this league you'll get caught up in circumstances. You know what I mean? And
I know.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I got caught 4 times.
Yeah, we all go through it. You know, so, you know, for me, you know, being a first-round quarterback, you know, I'm still very proud of that. You know, it is what it is, but – you know, like I said, I'm still getting, you know, still have an opportunity to go out there and play and do some things.
I thought it was telling, EJ, that this is your second 1 year deal, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was telling that shortly after Gruden got the job or whenever free agency started, it was a priority for them to get you back there.
Yeah, I felt like
I thought Gruden would kind of bring in his own guy.
Yeah.
But it was – he wanted E.J. Manuel back as his backup.
Yeah, because he definitely didn't have to do that.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm – there's a million guys still out there.
Exactly. So that's why I say I'm very excited to be with Coach Gruden. And, you know, obviously he's a guy who hasn't been coaching for a while, so he's been bringing in – you know, he's been meeting with all types of coaches and quarterbacks and things like that. So we're learning a lot, man. And I think it's going to help myself. It's going to help Derek. It's going to help Connor. So I think it's going to help all three of us.
Do you think they'll use your legs a little bit more?
Well, I think moving forward, man, I'm going to just do what I got to do to win. I think the times in the past where I have gotten opportunities to play, I've been kind of focused on, all right, well, don't let me mess up. Don't let me do this. Because once you get in that mode of, you know, feeling like you might get the chair pulled from up under you, you start kind of playing conservative, if I'm being honest. And so, you know, moving forward, I'm going to just play football. So, obviously, in this preseason, when I know I'll get a lot of snaps. Derek won't play a lot. I'm going to take advantage and ball out.
You know, in high school and college, when I was playing a game, I was, like, so excited to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go out there and kill dudes. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
When I got to the NFL, and after the first time I got cut, that was the first time where I'd ever, like, before a play,
second
in
guess.
My head think,
yep.
I really don't want to mess up.
Yeah.
If I mess up, that's bad. That is not good, dude.
You can't play like that.
Like, if I could do my career over again, I would lose 10 pounds because I just was – it doesn't really help you that much,
yeah,
number one.
Shape,
and number two, I would just go out there and say, I'm awesome. If I get cut, I get cut. But I'm going to pretend like it's high school and college again. And
you have to.
And I wasn't able to – I was always nervous about it.
That's why I'm glad we're able to talk because, like I said, we all go through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one thing about me. I'm not – ashamed of what I've gone through in Buffalo. If anything, I'm proud of it because, one, I'm still standing, and two, you know, I think those are things that help you become a man. You know what I mean? So that's going to help me not only in my football career, but in my life as a, you know, one day when I become a husband, one day when I become a dad and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, we all go through it, and, you know, me personally, I mean, I'm going out there to play ball. I'm going out there to win. So whether I got to run, whether I got to throw it, whether I got to whatever, I'm going to do what I got to do to win.
And Derek kind of went through that a little bit. I mean, 2 years ago, he could have been the MVP of the league.
Right, right.
And last year, it was up and down.
Well, he had his injury, and DC's great, man, honestly. Like,
but how was that for him mentally? Like,
yeah, that's one thing I was going to say about him as far as his mentality, though. He doesn't let stuff get to him. And people can say what they want, and they always will, but nobody's in that meeting room with us in the mornings and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
We could practice and all that. But I've seen him, just like I've seen with Tyrod, those guys, you know, mentality-wise, they keep their confidence. And, of course, you know, everybody has their moments, you know what I mean? But I feel like they do a great job of not showing it to our, you know, to their teammates and things like that because you can't really do that as a leader for the team.
Right. Great talking with you as always,
likewise,
man. Keep it rolling. And
yeah.
I can't wait till you can be double digits before you know it, man.
no doubt, man. Appreciate it.
It makes me feel old.
You still look good. You still look like you got a couple drives in you, though.
My last year in the league was 07. I ended up hurting my neck, and that was my last year, and you were a junior in high school.
Yeah.
That makes me feel old.
I remember that like it was yesterday, because it was you, Jason Campbell, all those guys
playing
to Virginia
Beach. And Portis.
Yeah, it was a bunch of guys. All the high school guys were there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thanks for coming on the show, as
always. Of course, always. Good seeing you.
All right. You know, the one thing I noticed, Bri, you know, being at these parties Friday night and Saturday night and seeing some of the players, is I need to step up my jeans game. There's no doubt about it. I was wearing shorts, but when I do wear jeans, I need some better jeans, which is why, thank goodness, we now have a partnership with Mott and Bow. I love getting high-quality stuff for less than half the price it usually costs. I know some of you might not be thinking jeans right now. Well, I'm telling you should, because we've only got Mott and Bow this deal for these 2 weeks, last week and this week. They make the jeans directly and sell them directly. You're not paying the markup for the brand. You're not paying the markup for the retail. You are getting unbelievable jeans that fit fantastic. You already got yours, Bri, right?
Well, you said you need to step up your game.
Yeah.
I already stepped up my game.
Nice.
I already ordered them. They already arrived, and right out of the bag, so far so good. Yeah, I only wore them once because I just got them the other day, but they are comfortable.
I gotta check on mine. I don't know that, you know, you bought yours. They sent me mine, and I haven't got them yet, so I got to check and see where mine are. But I will let you guys know as soon as I wear them. Because everybody I've talked to says that they're absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And now I have you in person, Bri, telling me that. And my friend told me that as well. Again, here's what you need to do. Go to mottandbow.com and enter promo code Tucker at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. Again, MOTTANDBOW.com to reinforce exactly what they're doing over at Mott and Bow. Make sure you go to mottandbow.com, enter promo code Tucker.
Tux Takes.
All right, Russell, I think we need to start by talking about this experience that we met so many Tuck heads and listeners and players and everybody else at the NFFC this weekend. Your thoughts?
It's one of the coolest things we've ever done. I mean, anytime. So, usually, you're in your house in Baton Rouge. I'm in my garage in central Pennsylvania, and we don't really get a chance to ever talk to our listeners or meet them. I mean, the best thing we have is tuckheads.com, and that's how we're able to get in touch with them, you know, for the folks that are on that, but a lot of them aren't on that. So to be able to go ahead and meet so many of them in person for the first time, like Jason Montgomery and his wife, Alice, like Trey Twyman and his brother, Michael, like JP, I mean, like Christopher Jackson. I'd already met Christopher, but it was really special. This is your first time, Bri, meeting any listeners, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was good. It was a great chance to meet the people who are helping us grow this business, and it's been a lot of fun.
It was incredible, and hopefully we can do more things like this where we can meet more of you guys, because it's extremely rewarding for us, and I think and hope those guys enjoyed it as well.
Tux Takes.
We now know what the Pro Football Hall of Fame has planned for Terrell Owens during the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony in early August. What is it, and what do you think?
Well, they're going to mail him his gold jacket. They're not going to mention anything about him individually. And when they mention the group, his name will be mentioned on, you know, materials that include the whole group. He'll be mentioned, but nothing individually. And it makes sense to me. He's not going to be there. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Have like 15 minutes to vote 5, 10, 15 minutes to a guy that has chosen not to be there? I mean, it's his choice. If he was there, they would do the same thing for him that they do for everybody else. So if he was there, it would not be a problem. It would not be an issue. But he's choosing not to be there, and that's totally his right. I've said it a million times. I'm kind of glad he's not going to be there. I don't really want to hear his – I'm not really that interested in hearing his speech, because I don't think he'll exactly be contrite. So I think the Hall of Fame got it right. I think they're doing exactly – I mean, if you're mentioning the whole group, you have to mention them. If you have materials about the whole group, you have to mention them. You know, you have to have them on that. But they shouldn't do anything individual. I mean, you know how they do it. They have the video by the presenter. Then they remove, you know, the covering from the bust. Then the guy gives a speech. Well, if he's not there for any of that stuff, why would you do any of that? I mean, that's what they do for guys. That's the individual part of it.
Tux Takes.
Well, T.O. also recently tweeted that he's boycotting the Hall of Fame for all of the others before and after him that have to wait so long to get in. Are you shedding a tear?
I mean, no, not at all. And I guess I'm just happy that he at least said it, right? Because before, he was trying to take the high road, and he was trying to say, well, I just want to be with the people that mean the most to me, which, by the way, doesn't make sense, because you can bring whoever you want. Now, if the issue is he doesn't have the money to bring whoever he wants, okay, I can maybe buy that. If he doesn't have the money to bring whoever he wants, I can buy that. But that's not what it's about. And it's not what it was ever about. And I'm glad he finally kind of owned up to that now. I think it's kind of a joke. You know, he had to wait 2 years. Shannon Sharpe had to wait 2 years. I mean, there's plenty of guys that have to wait a few years before. Chris Carter, what was he, like 6 years? I mean, he's really... Like I've said this before, what he's doing is a microcosm of his whole career, and he's just proving everybody right about how bitter he is, about how it's about him. I mean, it's a joke to think he's doing this for other people. He's doing this because he's bitter, and he's not happy that they made him wait.
Tux Takes.
In other news, former Giants head coach Ben McAdoo had all kinds of things to say about his former team and the entire NFC East.
I don't get it. I mean, the only reasonable explanation I can think of at this point, Bri, is that perhaps he wanted to get in the media or wants to still try to get in the media for this season and has given up on trying to coach this year. Otherwise, I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. I mean, he says Washington's Washington. I guess he doesn't want a job with the Redskins. He says Dallas, they've got young DBs. Sean Lee's always hurt. The D-line's always in trouble. He actually sounds like a fan. He actually sounds like a sports talk radio host. He said the Eagles can't handle success. What? When have they ever had success? They can't handle success? I mean, what is he talking about? And then I thought the thing that was really interesting is he says Nate Solder's not very good. And I tweeted this, Bri, at Ross Tucker NFL, I think on Friday. But he started Eric Flowers at left tackle for 3 years, but Nate Solder's not very good. And he says they're doing the right thing, sticking with Eli, but he benched Eli with 4 games left for Geno Smith. I mean, I think he really comes across really poor. Really poor. I don't know who gave him the advice to do that or how or why he thought that would be a good idea, but it was not. It was not at all.
Tux takes.
And some other news includes running back DeMarco Murray retiring after 7 years in the NFL, and the Houston Texans releasing offensive lineman Jeff Allen with an injury settlement.
Jeff Allen was actually at the NFFC this weekend. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was there. You know, if a guy is still injured, you can't cut him. You have to give him a settlement for how much time he'll miss. So I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to Jeff or ask him how much he got or what the settlement was for. But that opens up a roster spot for the Texans. I guess, you know, they felt like they had taken it as far as they could to see if he would heal. And now they just do the injury settlement and get him off the roster. As for DeMarco Murray, it's amazing. I mean, wasn't he awesome like 3 years ago? And even 2 years ago, he had a really, really good year in Tennessee after a bad year in Philly. It comes at you fast. Now, he visited like five or six teams this offseason. So I guess part of me, I'll believe he's really done, Bri, when I see it. You know, when he's totally, totally done, I'll believe it. But he's made some good money. He played 7 years. I think he's a pretty smart guy. And he probably thinks of it now, Bri, and says, you know what? The money that they are offering me is not worth the punishment to my body. And maybe he's getting offered $1 million or $2 million or whatever it is. And he's thinking, all right, I have X amount in the bank. I've made some good investments. Is it worth doing more damage to my body? Probably not. And I actually am surprised more guys don't think of it that way. And the reason why they don't is because they're usually in their 20s or even late 20s, but they think they can still play at a high level, and it's still a lot of money. And they're like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to get this much money in other aspects of my life. So I respect it, but I'm also not convinced that it's totally over for him.
Tux takes.
You know what today is?
Yeah.
Besides being Monday. It's franchise tag deadline day.
Oh, I was going to say July 16th.
July 16th. Well, that too. Any predictions? Not for July 16th, but for franchise tag deadline day.
You know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe LaMarcus Joyner, just because the Rams want to get his salary cap number down and have more room to give Aaron Donald an extension. I think he would be the most likely. We'll see about Ziggy Ansah and DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, there was good rumors over the weekend about Le'Veon Bell. You know, Mike Tomlin thought we'd have some good news. If he's still holding firm, though, to the $17 million a year, that's not happening. I can't imagine that would happen. So, we'll see. I guess it's possible, but I guess if I had to pick one, I would say LaMarcus Joyner, but we will obviously talk a lot about this on Wednesday with Andrew Brandt on his podcast after it kind of gets sorted out. But it seems like more and more players are willing to wait, you know, play it out 1 year and feel like they can pull a Kirk Cousins and really crush it, or even a Sammy Watkins or whatever, and really crush it in March in free agency and take that risk, take that chance.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address, ross@rostucker.com. One of our favorite things we do on the show is getting a chance to meet and talk to you guys in person, interact with Tuckheads, and get your emails that we can read and respond to. And you know our promise. Take advantage of literally any of the sponsors over at rostucker.com, and we will read and respond to it on the show. So we got some great ones, whether it's Mott & Bow or SeatGeek or any other ones over at rostucker.com or even Amazon. And now, not only do you get to ask a question, you automatically get a free month over at tuckheads.com going into the season, which is a great way to get you primed and ready to take your NFL fandom to the next level.
All right, well, today's question. Hey, Ross, I normally order from Amazon using Amazon's Pencils of Promise program, say that three times fast, which donates a portion of the purchase to children's education. Then I heard you were low on questions, so this one is from your banner ad. So today, the RTFP is more important than education. Here's the question. Ivy League schools conjure up images of pretentious rich white dudes. That is pretty much the antithesis of what we think of when we think of a football locker room at any level. Now, I'm curious how the environment and personalities were on the Princeton football team as compared to the NFL or other college teams. Massively different or more or less the same? I would also like to take a shot at the title belt in the Fantasy Feast Best Ball League. You should totally get a title belt made for the winner, and they can carry it for a year, by the way. That's from Jeremy.
Jeremy, thank you. So that is an excellent question. I would say there's no question that an Ivy League locker room is not the same as an NFL locker room. You know, in general, it's going to be different backgrounds. Not always, but some different backgrounds. And definitely, you know, without question, there's a different level of, oh, bro, help me out here. I don't know the right way to say this. I don't know the nice way to say this. But a different level of intellect, typically. There's still some of the same dynamics, but a couple things make it different. Number one, the NFL is a business, man. I mean, the NFL is about money, and it's grown men, some of whom have families, but you're not necessarily all buddy-buddy with your teammates. I mean, it is a serious, serious business, and a lot of times you're competing with those guys. So that's number one. Number two, I think, you know, the guys are younger at Princeton and a higher level of intellect, but there's some similarities, I would say. I mean, the cool thing about Princeton's definitely not pretentious white dudes. Definitely not. I mean, just go to their website now and look at their football team. What they have is unbelievable financial aid. So people of all backgrounds can go. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the Princeton football team that are there for free. I mean, the financial aid is so good now, and it's need blind, you know, admissions. So there's a lot of guys that are there that aren't paying anything and are first people from their family to go to college. You know, obviously first to go to an Ivy League school, and it's a very, very special opportunity for them. So it's not what you would expect it to be, but there are definitely differences between an NFL locker room and a Princeton locker room. And I never was in a major college locker room. I would imagine that the major college locker room would be in between. You know, it's like Ivy League, major college, NFL would be my guess. Good question. Keep those coming. We want to get to a bunch of them this week, and we absolutely love the idea of being able to give out a free month to Tuckheads.com to you guys. So hit us up, ross@rostucker.com, with any of those sponsor confirmations, and that'll do it for a Monster Monday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Appreciate those emails. Can't tell you how much people are gearing up for football season, so we'd love if you gear up and rate and review the show. And remember, if you just rate and review the show and take a screenshot and send it to me, I guarantee I'll read and respond to your question. Rating and reviewing the show is like asking a question now, which is amazing. Other than that, we got a big, big week planned. This is the week that we go twice a week on the Fantasy Feast, which is going to be epic. Cannot wait for it. And, of course, we'll have the college draft with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report tomorrow, which should be awesome. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.